Today on Seculo, the mayor of New York, losing his grip on the city, tries to blame border states for his crisis at home. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Our system was inundated with those who were seeking shelter because of the callousness of those other states that pushed them out.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
We need everyone on board with this, you know, because as I stated last week, our schools are going to be impacted. Our healthcare system is going to be impacted. Our infrastructure is going to be impacted. But we're willing to do our job, and we're going to do our job, and we're going to need all New Yorkers to be with us on this.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 201-800-684-3110. You got to love this. The New York City mayor blaming Arizona and Texas for the migrant problem, homelessness crisis too, in New York City. Of course, Texas Governor Abbott said, yeah, we're sending migrants to Washington, D.C. Make sure that the politicians in Washington, including President Biden, understand what it's like to have thousands upon thousands of people dumped into these small towns in Texas, not cities like New York. But remember, it's the federal government, thus the Biden administration, that was doing those late night flights, which could be continuing for all we know, into places like Westchester County, New York. I mean, right outside New York City. Here, we got pictures of it right now on the broadcast. That is not Texas. That is the federal government bringing them to the New York City area. Now, on top of that, advocates for homelessness, this is how bad things have gotten in the city itself, said that the strategy of blaming the spike on migrants is a distortion, that the city's homeless crisis is much bigger than the thousands of migrants. I mean, this is a city that can take in thousands of people in a day and not even notice it.
So the city's homeless advocates, and homelessness is a huge problem.
Huge.
All over the country.
I'd like to hear about that from more people, because I think they're seeing homelessness in cities and towns they've never seen it before.
I think
so
that's right.
So 1-800-684-3110, if you're seeing those encampments in your communities.
Yeah, we were in a couple of cities over the last couple of weeks, and it's pronounced much differently. But now you got the homeless advocates saying, hey, look, Mayor, you could blame this on Texas and Arizona, which it's not Texas and Arizona. It's the federal government putting migrants coming into the United States into your city. But the fact of the matter is the problem was there before, and they're pushing back saying that's not an excuse for not getting services. But this is exactly what we were talking about when we said you had an open border policy, which is basically what we have, when you don't have border security, which is basically we don't have, and then taking another step, it doesn't just affect Texas and California and Arizona or New Mexico. It affects every single city in the country.
Yep.
And the traffickers, remember, will go up the expressway. They will use the interstate system as their distribution point.
Yeah, we come back for the first break. We're getting into the numbers on this, which is just outrageous. What these criminal cartels are making. I knew it was a boom for the cartels,
no
but now
idea.
We have
like
the
this.
Actual reports. We're going to go through those numbers when we come back from the break. They are shocking, so you don't want to miss that. Stay with us. Share the broadcast with your friends and family. And give us a call. If you're seeing that, because I think what these mayors are doing, and Mayor Adams, who's been, frankly, a disappointment to a lot of us, who ran as more of a mainstream candidate who's going to clean up the city as a police officer, so he's going to back the police more. And instead, what we've seen is just unfortunately, crime on the rise, homelessness on the rise. In 1 year, crime is up over 37% in New York City alone. So whatever he's doing is not working right now. And I think when you hear him talk and trying to blame Texas, and then Texas said, not us, Biden. So stop trying to blame the callousness of Arizona and Texas, who, by the way, are having to deal with this every single day.
In numbers they never imagined.
Yeah, 200,000, 300,000 people in a month. So that's 20,000 people a day,
a
kind of numbers. And New York City is blaming them for a few thousand people.
You realize 250,000 is a congressional district.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why it's reshaping. We don't even know how this is going to reshape, ultimately, those kind of numbers. Because who do you count? Who counts for a census? Who doesn't count for a census? But let me tell you, end of the day, they use resources. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. to Sekulow. We got to your phone calls too, because listen, it's a problem. Cities are dealing with it. I bet there's communities. That's what I wanted to hear from folks at 1-800-684-3110. You might be seeing more homeless people. And I think that the homelessness issue is also not, it's not tied directly just to illegal immigrants who are being sent around different parts of the country. Certainly it's in New York. It is not Texas sending these migrants. So the mayor there is trying to shift blame, Mayor Adams shift blame to Texas and Arizona, when in fact it is the Biden administration. But even inside the homeless advocate world, which is a big operation in New York, they're saying we're dealing with this at such record numbers that the illegal immigrants are just a small part of this much bigger problem that we're going to have to deal with, like crime in New York City.
But let's also look at what we're dealing with here. You talked about this right before the break, and I'm going to read you this, folks. So the Coyote Enterprise, that's the ability to move these people around. They specialize in, well, they call it logistics. They do this like it's a business. Transportation, surveillance, stash houses, and accounting. The revenue is now estimated to be $13 billion. That's the revenue. $13 billion. So, Andy, you're a former prosecutor. You had to deal with child trafficking and sex trafficking and human trafficking. This is not some local problem. This is a $13 billion problem.
That's right, Jay. This is a massive financial boon for the traffickers, the child traffickers, the sex traffickers, the traffickers in women and so forth across the border, using the interstate systems to move people along, and they're making an enormous amount of money about over it. And the president of the United States, who sets immigration policy, who ought to be setting immigration policy, is not doing anything to stem this and to curtail it. Instead of flying to the Middle East, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, he should be taking a two-hour flight on Air Force One to the border to see exactly what his policy is doing in real terms. It is not the border states that are generating these difficulties in New York. It's not anything other than the Biden administration, and the cartels are making a fortune on it, Jay.
Yeah. I mean, this. So, I mean, it's gone from, listen, it costs anywhere from $4,000 to $20,000 to pay one of these coyotes, depending on how long your journey is. So lower, of course, if it's a smaller journey, higher if it's a bigger journey. But again, they went from it being about a $500 million a year business in 2018. Now fast forward to 2022, $13 billion a year.
Unreal.
So they're making money off this like they would be drugs and other kind of stuff.
No, they're running this like, this is like the mafia used to run a business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. We're getting calls coming in from all over the country, 1-800-684-3110. But the first call we're going to take is actually from New York.
Yeah, Jimmy in New York online too. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, hi, guys.
Yep.
It's good to be on with you. Yeah, it's like I see it. I lived in Brooklyn. I just moved to Staten Island, and it's a little, and it's safer in Staten Island for the meantime.
Well, yeah, you know, where people are coming from is different. We kind of think when people think southern border, they think Mexicans.
It's not. Yeah, I think Jimmy is off on this a little bit. I mean, he may be, you know, he's trying to identify a particular class of person, but it's like you just said, it's not. They're not Mexicans generally coming to the United States.
Which is why
I think if we're looking at this saying this is a Mexico-U.S. problem in the sense that it's the border, yes. But they're coming from all over the Northern Triangle, Latin America, I mean, the Middle East. Okay, so if you want to start looking at people's characteristics, it's all over, and including 56 people that were on the terror watch list.
And a lot of them, they go to New York because they know that's a place where people will be able to understand them.
Multi-ethnic.
They can speak. They might have family there or some connection there, and they can get some kind of work. It's a sanctuary city. But I think that the truth is we as Americans are seeing these problems all over. And I think the blame, I want you to hear this, the blame that Mayor Adams tries to put on states that are dealing with this at record numbers. How about, this is a mayor that was supposed to be sympathetic and
law and order.
Yeah, law and order. How about understand what these states are going through? And by the way, none of them have sent people to New York. Only the Biden administration does that. But what he's showing to be is a party line Democrat, unfortunately.
Yep.
Take a listen.
If there was ever an all hands on deck moment, this is it.
This is it. Our system was inundated with you know, those who were seeking shelter because of the callousness of those other states that pushed them out. We're here, we're receiving them, and everyone is going to have to be on board.
You know, Andy, first of all, he's factually wrong. And he keeps doubling down on this. It's been very clear that this was not Texas, Arizona, and you know, New Mexico and California. This was the federal government doing the relocation of illegal immigrants coming into the United States. But he made the statement, all hands on deck. And doesn't all hands on deck have to start at the source of the area? And that is, once they're in the United States, it's really very late in the game to try to fix it.
That's right, Jay. I mean, you've got to prevent the problem. You prevent it at the source of where it occurred, and that's at the borders, wherever those borders may be, whether it's in the southwest border or in the southeast border. The influx of immigrants and migrants who are illegal into the United States is an issue that is left to the federal government, and the president of the United States sets that policy. He has set no policy. His secretary says that the borders are secure. Nonsense. That's an absolute fabrication and a falsehood. These states now receiving these migrants coming in, and they're not the ones shipping them to the sanctuary city. The federal government is doing that in plane loads. So, you know, when Mayor Adams, who I agree with, Jordan, he's a great disappointment. I thought he was a law enforcement officer, that he would understand the problems having been in the police, but he's a party-line Democrat and in lockstep with the Democratic administration, and he's spouting the same words that you would expect from a Democrat. But what he says is that we're a sanctuary city, but he doesn't want to take on the burden of understanding that a sanctuary city needs to put its hands in its pockets with both hands in both pockets and come up with the money. So he looks to Joe Biden to help him. Joe Biden's not going to help you in this. It's a disaster from the beginning.
Yeah, I want to go to the phones. Whitney in Texas on line three. Hey, Whitney.
Hi. Yes, as a Texan, I got to say the general response to Mayor Adams' comments was just welcome to our world, right? But take what he's complaining about and multiply it times 100, and that's what's happening here and in Arizona and in the border states. And frankly, I welcomed his comments. I feel like it was a wake-up call to the rest of the country. Outside of your program, I'm surprised how many people I know in other states that don't hear about the border on a daily basis. It is our top news story every single day.
You know, Whitney, it's interesting also because Jordan and I were talking this during the break. The fact is, you have to be not looking to not see the problem. In other words, if you're not looking, you're not going to see the problem. But if you're looking, and I don't care what city you're in, most cities right now are dealing with this. And they're dealing with it because if you look at the sheer numbers, when you're talking about 250,000 people a month, you're talking about 3 million people a year. In 2 years, that's 6 million people. You're going to notice that in every single community. And that's what's happening, actually, Jordan. And that's where the failure of the policy is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is everywhere in the country. It is, whether it's homelessness, which, again, his folks said, this is not about the migrants and the illegal immigrants are not the reason why we have a homelessness crisis in New York City. So that's not true. It's also he blamed the wrong people. He tried to blame Texas and Arizona, who are on the front lines of this. And as caller said, I mean, this is their top story every night on local news.
Yeah.
This is what's affecting them the most, their communities. Crime, overwhelmed schools. Everything that Mayor Adams is talking about is something that red states have been dealing with,
yes,
and been ignored by the Biden administration. They have said our schools are overrun. What did he say? Our schools are going to be overrun. So, our healthcare system is going to be overrun. We might have to use hotels to start give these people somewhere to stay. Guess where this has been happening for the last three years? Right there on the border. The Trump administration was on a path towards getting this secured, but it was not completed yet.
Yeah.
But the numbers were nowhere near. They were not even a half.
It's also, and we got less than a minute here, but it's also taxing the legal systems, both the criminal system, the regular general criminal system, and also, of course, the legal immigration system.
Well, Jay, the legal system cannot handle this kind of overload.
Right.
Look, the immigration judges, the law enforcement officers, the sheriffs, the police officers. I mean, I've dealt with law enforcement all my life as a prosecutor, both on the state level and, of course, as a U.S. attorney on the federal level. And they cannot handle the overload that these migrants, these illegal aliens who are coming into the United States are bringing in terms of keeping the law and order, securing the peace, and doing the things that you've got to do to police in a normal sense. Now you've got this influx of immigrants on top of that. And the local law enforcement and the federal law enforcement officers simply are overwhelmed and can't do it.
All right, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign here at the ACLJ, and we really need your support. We're very close to getting our last year number, which is what we're targeting. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for. We encourage you, if you're watching this broadcast, of course, share it with your friends, but also ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Secular. So we talked about this, the migrant issue. Of course, those issues are not done. Coming up, second half hour two, Congressman Mike Waltz joining us about China. And again, we've been talking about these different issues with China. We talked about the Huawei yesterday and on the cell towers. We've talked about some of the land. We're going to get more into the land, both farmland, the border crisis, inflation, but really focusing in on China with Congressman Waltz, who again is I think the first Green Beret elected to the House of Representatives. And so, again, a lot of good insight from him on the security issues. And we'll go to him in the second half hour of the broadcast. But Governor Whitmer in Michigan, she is one of the Democrats who is looking to say, well, if you push Joe Biden now, maybe I'll try to make a move in. So she's taken some pretty extreme action. She's been extreme throughout her time as governor. This time around, she's vetoing. So this passed the legislature in Michigan, $20 million in what's called, and it's interesting because it's being called pro-life adoption funding.
Yeah.
But really, it's adoption funding.
Right.
And you would think in a state, whether you were pro-abortion or pro-life, you know you're dealing with a new world now with post-Dobbs. You're going to need more adoption support. But because some of this funding was going to go to pro-life pregnancy centers, what did Whitmer say about those? Of course, they're fake.
Yeah, so she vetoes the bill, which included $10 million for a marketing program which was promoting adoption over abortion, $3 million for organizations that promote childbirth and alternative to abortions, crisis pregnancy centers, and $100,000 designated for legal defense of a ban on other matters. So here's the question that you've got to really ask yourself. The legislature passes it. She vetoes it. She vetoes it because, as Jordan said, she's making a political move. We got to tell you something. We've got two of our ACLJ lawyers right now in New York, Frank Mannion and I think Ed's also there. And they are, Ed White, they're looking at the New York situation because in New York, in addition to the violence you had at the pro-life pregnancy centers, you have a law that's targeting them for, you know, removal, basically. So this situation is totally out of hand at this point. The attack post-Dobbs, Cece, is really breathtaking.
Yeah, it is. I feel like here we go again. Yeah. I mean, the clinics, the pregnancy resource centers are at the center of attack again, with Governor Whitmer basically saying, I'm not going to give any money to these fake clinics. And it's interesting, her spokesperson said that these clinics often use deceptive advertising that target young women and women with low incomes and are seeking abortion care, painting them as comprehensive licensed healthcare clinics that provide all options and then lie to women about medical facts. And this is always the spin that they use. But here's the thing. There are laws already on the books. If they are holding themselves out as a medical clinic and they're not, they will get slammed with practicing medicine without a license. If they are advertising falsely, they will get slammed with false advertisement claims. And so this is just a lot of spin. And the people that are lying, actually, it's Governor Whitmer, because pregnancy resource centers only provide an option that's not abortion. They actually give women options, and that's not what the pro-abortion side wants. They want the only option to be abortion, and if anybody comes against that, they are going to be the center of the attack.
But what is important for everybody to understand is the American Center for Law and Justice and ACLJ Action. We are fighting this both legally and then the political side of it, too. So legally, we're looking at a challenge to the New York law. We're talking to clients today in New York. Politically, There are states now involved, Jordan, and you were talking about this before, that you would not necessarily have thought you'd have to be fighting it out in.
No, Kansas and Iowa are a couple of the first states for, and so for those of you in Kansas, you may start seeing ads run by ACLJ Action online targeting, they may target you to get out the vote on August 2nd for the value of them both, which is a state vote to basically override a Supreme Court, state Supreme Court decision that found a right to abortion in the state constitution made up, just like Roe. But there, what they have is the voters will actually decide there, and it's called value them both, the mother, the child, if you override that decision.
Right.
And then you will be able to legislate abortion restrictions. It's a bit uphill. So we're launching an ad campaign through ACLJ Action.
Why is it uphill?
So much money pouring into the pro-abortion movement, and they're able to start off in a state like Kansas, and they're trying to confuse people. What does the yes vote mean? What, you know, these get these get tricky, can be tricky. So it's a yes vote that we're supporting, and we've got Secretary Pompeo. He's of course a Kansas native. He's out there in one of the ads, the web ads people will see. We're going to put it up at acljaction.org probably today, so people outside of Kansas can see what we're doing. Just to get out the vote. This is about getting out the vote.
Exactly.
It's going to be
the political side of things.
Yeah.
And we've got the legal side of it. And Ed and Frank are in New York right now. Cece, what are they working on?
Right. So the New York law, again, targets crisis pregnancy centers. And so they are up in New York talking to the crisis pregnancy centers, also talking to those that had been targeted and vandalized by the Jane's Revenge groups. So they're just rallying the troops around the crisis pregnancy centers. And then we also filed two amicus briefs in Michigan against Governor Whitmer, who's trying to create a right to abortion through the courts. And of course, then Michigan also has a ballot initiative coming up this fall, trying to once again create a right to abortion in Michigan.
This is a very complex situation, but the American Center for Law and Justice and ACLJ Action are totally prepared for all of the nuances that you're going to see coming our way on this. This is a big issue with a lot of complexities, but we're defending life at now at the state level, which is when we said, look, when we said Roe versus Wade was overturned, we said all that means is it goes back to the states. And guess what? It has. It's gone back to the states.
Yeah, and it's very grassroots. So, again, the vote in Kansas is exactly a week from today. So we launch our ad campaign there. Thank you to those initial ACLJ Action donors making that possible. Again, in some states, we're going to be more involved than just an ad campaign. This is a very quick one right out of the box, where we're getting involved in lobbying, where we're getting involved in drafting. And your work, kind of support of that work, determines how much of it we can do. And what we're seeing is, we told people it's going to be 50 state battles. It is.
We have an interactive map up at ACLJ.org.
It's everything from... in New York, it's pro-life pregnancy centers under attack. In Kansas, it's we can actually win the bigger issue and overturn a bad court decision by vote. And then start legislating good pro-life legislation. So in some states, it's about in-game. In other states, it's about survival of the pro-life pregnancy centers as an option in places that are going to be extremely hostile to the pro-life viewpoint.
If you go to ACLJ.org, we have a 50 state map in the United States that you can click on any individual state, and it will tell you exactly what we're dealing with, exactly what the laws are. That's how comprehensive our approach, CC, is to this fight.
That's right. And we've been saying that all along, that once Dobbs is decided, and it was rightfully so, that there is no constitutional right to abortion, it goes back to the states, and it's all 50 states, and we can't assume that conservative states are going to have an easy battle, because sometimes, like you've said many times, they have a liberal court system.
Yeah, state Supreme
and
Court.
So even if you have conservative legislature, then you have a court system that you have to deal with.
Exactly.
And
right.
So we are battling at all levels, at the ballot initiatives, at the inside the courts, with legislation.
There is not a area of this that the ACLJ is not totally engaged in. Now, here's what we are. We're in the last 4 or 5 days of our matching challenge campaign. We are close to last year's. We're about 2.5. I'll give you the number. I think we're 2.5% behind. We need your support. If you're able to donate, it's a matching gift. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. Jordan's going to let you know the details. But folks, if there was ever a time to give to the ACLJ, that time is right now.
Absolutely. Folks, support our work. ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. So what that means, you donate, I know people are struggling, so don't do it if you're struggling, but if you're able to donate $20, And that's not going to, you know, hurt your bottom line. That is like $40 for us. If you're able to donate $50, that's like $100 for us. So donate today, ACLJ.org. Second half hour coming up, Congressman Mike Waltz. We're going to get more into China and again, these threats that they are posing right here at home.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Congressman Mike Waltz joining us in the next segment of the broadcast on China. I do want to take a couple of calls. So we talked about the situation with the New York mayor. It's just been a complete disappointment, totally losing grip on his city. Crime is up 37% in the last year. So this was going to be the mayor who was going to back the police, get New York back under control. And now he's blaming homelessness issue on illegal immigrants that he's saying are being sent up by callous red states like Arizona and Texas, except for Governor Abbott has been very clear and said, no, we've only sent people to Washington, D.C. to show the politicians there what it's like to have this kind of people, many people dumped into your city at one time. By the way, it's having an effect there too. Mayor Bowser's talked about that in D.C. It's that, and it's been something that is real. But where Adams is wrong is it's the Biden administration sending him to New York. Remember the late night flights to Westchester. So I want to take phone calls out of New York, then out of Massachusetts as well. Let me go to Ken in New York online too. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You know, you all have been spot on about everything you all been saying. And I wanted to highlight, you know, what I like that you all are saying in terms of, not the fact that I like it, but it's accurate in terms of the lack of policy. It's just, these people aren't doing their jobs. If you want to put it out there and without any sprinkles on it, it's really just, they're not doing their jobs. The DA, Alvin Bragg, is not doing his job. He tried to convict somebody who was innocent of a charge of murder when he was just trying to defend himself.
Defended his story, yeah.
You all remember that story, right? Yep. And then you have these things that, you have these field trips that the mayor is going on. He's parading around the city, not doing anything. It's a complete dumpster fire. It's a complete dumpster fire.
Well, Ken, I think you're right. I mean, you're living there, you're seeing it, and you're wondering, you know, this is a lot of words for these politicians. When I start seeing that the real advocates for the homeless folks in New York City and the homeless advocates, who they came around and said, now usually they'd be in pretty lockstep with a liberal mayor.
Yeah.
And they said, he's wrong. The homelessness is such a huge problem, and the illegal immigrants are just a small part of that homelessness problem. So stop trying to blame it on that and start tackling the real problems.
Let's go and say Carol.
Yeah, Carol, Massachusetts, on line three. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. My question has to do, of course, with the border. Is there anything that can be done legally to actually close the border because of the health and security risks that we're facing? Being faced with?
Well, we have those abilities, under Title 42 to expel immediately. And so that's one. Two, you wouldn't close the border. You still need the trade. You still need the, you still need items.
But you could secure the border.
But secure the border, remember, we were on path to doing that. We had wall being built where it was necessary. We had Remain in Mexico, where the Mexican government did agree to.
Did away with catch and release.
Yeah, did away with catch. So, yes. It's never going to be perfect. It's a giant border, so you're going to always have issues with it. But what we were trying to do in the Trump years was, how do you limit it to where you've got your, where are your vulnerabilities, and then you focus there instead of the entire border being vulnerable. And you see people going across the river, and it's It puts our law enforcement and border folks in such dangerous positions. And yet the Biden administration tries to blame. You know, they came back on the guys that were on horses who were not whipping anybody. And they came back and they're going after those guys. That's yep. who they're focusing on. Like you talked about in New York, where the DA was going after, finally pulled back. But the store owner who yep. killed somebody trying to rob a store.
So some of the governors on the border states are trying to take action. We're supporting what the legal issues are. And they're complex.
Yep.
But I just want you to know that we're not just talking about the issue here. We're working with members of Congress. You're going to hear from one of them in a moment. So, folks, we're working on the congressional level. We're working on the legal level. We talked about this the other day. These are complex legal issues. They're complex political issues. But we're at the forefront of that. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge Campaign. Any amount you donate, there's a lot of you watching right now, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We encourage you to do that today.
Yeah, and folks, this is the time to do it. I mean, because again, donating $25 to the ACLJ, that is like $50 for us. So, I mean, you can see how an amount that might not cause you any kind of even notice could be significant for the ACLJ. Donate to the ACLJ. Or we come back, Congressman Waltz. We are joined now by a great friend of the broadcast and a friend of the ACLJ, Congressman Mike Waltz, who represents North Central Florida and the Florida 6th Congressional District, but speaks out on a lot of issues. First Green Beret elected to Congress, has been a top advisor to former Vice President Cheney. Someone's got a lot of expertise. And of course, the China issue is so front and center. And Congressman, you picked up on an issue we've been working on at the ACLJ and through our C4 as well, ACLJ Action. Congressman Waltz, and that's what's happened in places like North Dakota, where a Chinese company is buying or is in the process of trying to buy about 390 acres of land, happens to be very close to a military base, and could be a place where they easily spy, basically, for not a lot of money either, but a few hundred acres. And we're seeing this across the country, including in your home state.
Yeah, no, that's right. They're not only doing it in North Dakota, they're doing it, as you said, across the country. They just bought several thousand acres in Texas, also right outside one of our more sensitive military bases. So their ability to move into some of these more impoverished areas of the country and just buy up huge tracts of land is one issue as it pertains to spying on our military. But I think the bigger issue is their investment into farmland and into the U.S. food supply so that they can control it. They have already bought the largest pork processing plant in the country. This tract in North Dakota, they plan to build another grain processing plant. And this is part of China's what they call the Made in China 2025, which is to not only bring their supply chains internal, but to create global dependency so that they can choke these supply chains off in terms of any type of geopolitical conflict. They've done it with our pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
We no longer make penicillin in this country. They can choke that off. We can't let them do that to our food supply
Congressman, I view the situation with China buying the agricultural land, in addition to, like you said, to the intelligence gathering, which, of course, is dangerous enough as it is, right? I mean, there's no question. But the ability to control our food supply is, to me, a national security threat of the highest order.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And my question is, what the heck is the Biden administration doing about it? I mean, they're looking at dropping tariffs and making it easier for Chinese investment to come in. It's not just our food supply. It's not just our pharmaceuticals. You know, the progressive left is driving us to this with this green economy ideology. Well, guess what? Guess who makes 90% of the world's solar panels, 70% of the world's wind turbines, and controls the global lithium supply for batteries? China, China, and China. So this is, you're right, this isn't just a jobs issue or even a human rights issue. It's an absolute national security issue, and we need to wake up as a country.
Well, some of the parts about that, Congressman Waltz, that are even so troubling is that, I know the company that is in North Dakota, the Chinese front company, is tied back to forced labor with the Uyghur Muslims in Western China. I mean, so they have that component. It's like if you're interested in human rights, you should oppose us. If you're interested in national security, you should oppose us. It should not be a Republican or Democrat issue. Are you feeling that on Capitol Hill, though, at all? I mean, because it feels like, because you said some of the policies, like the Green New Deal, but also are Democrats waking up to just how serious this threat is at so many different levels right here at home?
The short answer is no. Some of the older Democrats, like, you know, Steny Hoyer, yep, Pelosi has been a hawk, but the young progressives, absolutely not. And even the older Democrats all went quiet when Trump took such a hard stand on China. You know, suddenly, you know, anything Trump says, they have to run the opposite direction, even if it means facing up to our greatest adversary. And that's been incredibly disappointing. I'm on a China task force in the House. Pelosi pulled her members a week before we announced it because, quote, she didn't want to give Trump an excuse when this is in the middle of the coronavirus to cover up his failings. You're right. It needs to be a bipartisan issue, but right now it's not.
Okay, let me ask you this, because one of the things we like to do on the broadcast is offer hope to people, not just point out, here's the problem, you know, what's the solution? What are you all doing on Capitol Hill or proposing to curtail this issue?
Well, number one, I just mentioned that China task force. It covers 10 committees from education, labor, agriculture, of course, armed services, intel. And when Republicans get the Congress back, you are going to see a much, much tougher stand from Wall Street, academia, sports industry, politics, you name it, as it pertains to CCP influence. So I think that's a key piece, because this is going to be won or lost economically way before it is militarily. And that's actually the Chinese theory of victory, is that we just can't afford to compete anymore, much less have the tanks, planes, and ships to do so. So I think you're going to see a significant move come this fall.
Congressman Waltz, when we look at these issues too, you've talked about food security, tech security, with your military background. Also, just the trip that Speaker Pelosi, I thought it was interesting, a tweet you sent out. I saw Secretary Pompeo, who's our team at ACLJ, said something similar, which is, you know, don't usually support Nancy Pelosi or Speaker Pelosi, but she needs to take a stand here. If she wants to go to Taiwan, go to Taiwan.
You know, it is utterly and absolutely pathetic that that Biden is kowtowing to Chinese bullying. You know, we do not let the Chinese communists dictate what allies we visit. And all they had to do was issue a statement. And you have not only the Biden White House, but the Pentagon backing away from that visit. And this is how the Chinese operate. And they will continue to encroach, eat away, to bully, create dependencies until they achieve what Chairman Xi has said he wants to achieve, which is global Chinese dominance as the sole superpower, and replace the American dream with the China dream. I mean, they're telling us what we're going to do, what they're planning on doing, and we're playing right into their hands. So, yeah, I support her going. She absolutely has to go. And then what message does it send to our allies, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and others? If we won't even visit, how are we going to actually stand up for freedom and defend it?
You know, you raised that issue, which I think is serious. And I think we need to put a perspective on this, Congressman. You served with distinction in our military. You're serving as a member of Congress. I have worked, you know, and Jordan has too. We've worked with the executive branch, obviously, in other contexts. We've worked closely with Congress. People are starting to understand that this Chinese threat is real. And they're very, very, I call it the sinister aspect of this, is the engagement that they will do, like agriculture. You mentioned universities. This has been a huge problem of Chinese influence in not just major universities, but state universities as well across the country.
Yeah, they have every year 400,000 Chinese students in our research centers, in the most sensitive technology centers, in our universities. And look, I have no problem with the Chinese people. I'm sure they are amazing kids. But what we have to understand is they have no choice. If their government taps them on the shoulder and says, access that supercomputer, bring that technology home, advanced materials, quantum computing, they don't have a choice. They have to do it. But guess what? They are paying full freight And these academic institutions are completely addicted to it. And then on top of that, the Chinese are pouring money into their endowment. One of the largest recipients is the University of Pennsylvania that houses the Biden Center. So we are drunk on Chinese dollars. And my message to everybody is we are funding our greatest adversary. We're funding their military buildup that our soldiers are going to have to face one day. And so when you see Made in China, put it down. It's not just a jobs issue. It's a national security issue.
And Congressman Walz, I appreciate you so much joining us. Again, Congressman Walz from Florida 6th Congressional District has been very outspoken on these issues. I appreciate so much his time. And again, you saw how the elections do have consequences, the midterm elections, where this China committee could do a lot more that Congressman Walz is talking about. And we've said it, from food security to education security. That's research and technology, too. That's not just the education world. And to our own national security, because when they're making 90% of the microchips, which, by the way, yeah, that's for your phone, your car, that's caused some of the backlog with cars, but also in the F-35s and in tanks. And they can press the button at any point they want to say off.
That was scary.
I mean, the fact that we're allowing their technology to be such an important part of our new weapons, not just our civilian cars and civilian phones, but our weaponry, that we're putting our food security at risk, that, so they can say, you know what, we're not going to grow any more wheat right now.
But you know, when Mike
we're not going to slaughter any more hogs, so
good luck.
There's going to be a shortage of food.
When Mike Pompeo said yesterday that
and they own these other continents,
and you know they do because you've been down there, and when they flip a switch and all of a sudden our military tanks can't operate, that's cyber warfare at a big scale, folks. Support talk to the congressman. You know, this broadcast alone, you're helping support it, of course. But also support the work of the ACLJ. We also were in the front and center on all these issues. Coming up next, Chinese influence in the U.S. Federal Reserve. That's what we're going to talk about.
And it's real. And it's, again, Congressman, you're all being put together. This is Senator Portman. I put together a full report on how they're infiltrating the Federal Reserve to try and manipulate, not their currency, how they do it at home, our currency here in the United States. We'll be right back on Secular. China, and listen, I've seen this happen in countries much smaller than ours, by the way, in the developing world, where China will go in and say, you know, just kind of like what we were talking about with Huawei on the cell towers, we'll do this for free, we'll do this for free. We'll give you this loan. If you don't pay back the loan, by the way, in a few years, we will take back the infrastructure. So they own most of the infrastructure in many countries around Africa. In fact, if you look at warm water ports that the Chinese own, some that are not, some that are military, so they have actual military ports, but also some that are just civilian to move things like food and grain and processes like that. Also to get the rare earth minerals to build those chips, yep, which you need as well. So they go in, and just like they're doing in small and rural America right now, in countries and cities and localities that may be hurting. By the way, though, the town in North Dakota has no unemployment employment, right. No employment problem. I mean, you know, it's a 300-acre small facility. It's not going to be like 10,000 new jobs. But they go and they say, we're going to build a pipeline. Well, they're never going to get pipeline approved, but they say they're going to do it. You know, right. That pipeline will lead to thousands of jobs.
So,
but they go and they sell. And then, you know, it, even to folks who might be thinking the right way, they start thinking just about dollars and cents, which is how you could think about most partners of ours if it was an ally country.
It's the Chinese.
But this is now, I think that Congressman Walz was right. This, we have to see every action they take as an adversarial.
Yes, I think we do have to view it through an adversarial lens. Now, here's one that's scary. So, Senator Portman has issued a report detailing China's efforts to, ready for this, to target, influence, and undermine the United States Federal Reserve. Let me say that again. A report from Senator Portman details China's efforts to target, influence, and undermine U.S. Federal Reserve banks. Now, let's start with the basic, Professor Hutchinson, and that is the Federal Reserve. How significant is the Federal Reserve to the U.S. economy, and what exactly does it do?
This is a great question. The Federal Reserve System is essentially the central bank of the United States. It is a quasi public, quasi-private institution that performs general functions in order to promote the effective operation of the United States economy, to stabilize the economy, to prevent inflation from destroying the economy.
Like when the Fed raises the rate.
So it adjusts the interest rate that you and I pay on our mortgage.
Right.
And so it affects each and every consumer in terms of their day-to-day transactions. And it will indeed affect the interest rates that we pay, for instance, on our credit cards, our automobile loans. So it's very, very important. Most Americans are not particularly familiar with the Federal Reserve. It has branches throughout the United States. As I suggested earlier, it controls monetary policy. It tries to stabilize the financial system. It promotes the safety and soundness of individual financial institutions. Some of us may have savings deposits. We may have checking accounts. And it also provides consumer protection. And so we now have a situation in which the Chinese government, our most important and our most threatening adversary, has turned its attention to acquiring confidential, non-public information designed at the end of the day to undermine the United States economy, to undermine our stability, and essentially allow China to win. Because China is engaged in a global war with all Western governments. And so I think this report from Senator Portman is a very, very important one.
Here's my concern, Jordan, and Harry. We've looked at the agricultural situation. We've looked at the military situation. Congressman Waltz mentioned penicillin. But then you start messing with the Federal Reserve System, and you brought up a very interesting point, Jordan. You've been to countries and have worked in countries where the Chinese influence on infrastructure and monetary policy is not only dramatic, but they are basically satellites for the Chinese Communist Party. These governments become that.
Yeah, and so because you're so reliant on all the services they're providing, and now they're in charge of, so whether it's your wireless structure, whether it's your internet provisions, whether it's water, whether it's food. And again, military equipment, security equipment. Now, we have voluntarily got ourselves into this position because there's been this China policy that maybe they're not so bad, maybe we can work with them. But in the last few years, and so we have seen a shift. If our, like I said, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, can't make a trip to Taiwan because we're worried about World War III breaking out with the Chinese, it just tells you if a trip by a U.S. leader is, and the Biden administration is trying to wave her off.
Yeah, they're trying to get her not to go. So this tells you how serious it is. But let me, in this report, so Harry, in the report, it says the investigation of the U.S. Federal Reserve shows that China used a variety of tactics to, I'm reading from it, recruit U.S.-based economists to provide them with knowledge and intellectual capital in exchange for monetary gain and other benefits. What that means in English is that the Chinese government was getting our economists to explain to them how to engage our system so that they would understand the system and basically then influence, and not only influence, direct that system.
I think that's correct. So it's simply more than influence. It's control. China aims to control the U.S. economy from agriculture to semiconductors to lithium batteries and to U.S. monetary policy. It's also important to keep in mind that China, along with Russia, has now created an alternative reserve currency, and they have enlisted the support of the so-called BRIC countries, which include India and Brazil. So China is a worldwide competitor and a worldwide threat to the United States and to our economic future.
Listen to this headline, just the headline. From the Wall Street Journal. This is just the headline, folks. We're on this China situation because we know the seriousness of it. This is the headline, Wall Street Journal. China targeted Fed to build informant network. Access data is what the probe says. Let me read that again. Wall Street Journal. China targeted the Fed to build an informant network and access data. Does that not tell you everything about what we're facing right now?
It is. And I think we have to acknowledge it for what it is. It is a serious threat. They are the only other country in the world right now that poses a risk to our dominance in the world. And we're a force, for the most part, for good. It doesn't mean that every decision U.S. policymakers and presidents and Congress makes is right. Certainly not. But in general, we don't have forced labor. We're not involved in genocide. I mean, they are. So do you want a country that engages in genocide against its own people, its Muslim minority population in Western China, who's in forced labor? Do you want that same company owning a feed factory in North Dakota? Who's using slave labor? Do you want them to? You want to be relying on them for your food? You want to be relying on them for your F-35 to work because of the chip technology, or your car to turn on because of the chip technology, or your phone if you need to access somebody in an emergency? I mean, think about every aspect of our life. We've got to reclaim it from the Chinese Communist Party. Support the work of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge this month at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org. Donate today. ACLJ.org. We will talk to you.